Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well, hello there, dear listener. Chris Evans here, and welcome to this week's Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, the always hilarious Alan Carr gives us the latest on his sensational new series, Alan Carr's Epic Game Show, back on ITV Saturday nights. The triple threat comedian, writer, and movie director, Simon Anstall, has news of his upcoming stand-up tour, Spirit Hole. Sunday Times best-selling author, Daniel Levitin, leaps through the pages of his brilliant new book, The Changing Mind, A Neuroscientist's Guide to Aging Well. And if that's not enough, there's still so much more to come. Dapper Dave, tell us who's first.
If you missed some of your favourite game shows from yesteryear, then fear not, they're back and they're all in one place. The new series of Alan Carr's Epic Game Show is back on ITV tomorrow night, so please welcome a man that's very epic and very Alan. It's the gorgeous Alan Carr!
Morning, Al!
Morning!
You're looking gorgeous, my friend.
Thank you.
You really are.
I'm so pleased to be here. I hate Zoom. I hate doing things on Zoom, so it's so lovely to be here and see everyone in the flesh.
Right, let's talk about your show, because you want to talk about loads of things. Stay as long as you like, doesn't matter. If you get bored, just leave. You don't even have to say goodbye. Right, tomorrow you're back on ITV.
Yes.
Now, you've done this before. It obviously worked. Tell us what it is.
It's Name That Tune. It hasn't been on the telly for ages. Yep. Now, when I heard I was bringing it back, I was like, it was a little bit dated in the 80s when I remember it. Do you remember? And do you remember how weird it was? It was like, yeah. I can name that tune in one. Do you know the way to San Jose by Dionne Warwick? And you're like, how do you know that? That's like witchcraft. So we're bringing it back. We've got a live band. It was so lovely to hear live music, you know, after this pandemic.
Yes, yes.
So fantastic singers. So much fun. Filmed it already. It's great. It's absolutely great.
Right, so is it all the series named that tune this time, or are you going to go to different shows?
No, we've got Bullseye, right. Strike It Lucky, you Play Your Cards Right, Price Is Right. Because, you know, and it's doing so well, but I just worry whether, because it's so camp, the
right.
show.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, we live in a world now where you can play, you know, computer games and all that. And then I'm going, so if this bag of custard is worth more than a bag of penny pasta, you're winning the car. But you sort of think, is this going to work?
Yeah.
But it does.
I think it does. I mean, Vassos, you had an experience the other night where you were going to watch something else on Sky, but you turned the telly on, Alan was on, and you couldn't turn it off.
Yeah. We were going to watch 6 Minutes to Midnight, the amazing Judi Dench film, the Sky original. And then, it just happened to be on ITV and you were on and it was The Price is Right. And Caroline and I, we sat down, we had a glass of red wine and we just didn't immediately press the home button on the Sky Q remote and find 6 Minutes. Oh. We just started. I just wanted to see.
If you give him 30 seconds, yeah. It'll take an hour.
And it was, and you're right. I mean, it is so camp and it's so 80s and it's so unapologetically that. We watched the entire show and loved it. So thank you.
Do you find some shows work better than others? Do you have a favourite yourself?
I love Play Your Cards Right. I just love that, turning the cards. I mean, I grew up on that.
Is that because of memories of Brucey? Does that come into play as well?
Yeah, it's proper pinch me stuff, you know, and you're saying all the catchphrases, yeah, and you'll get two in a bed and all that, and, you know, it's just brilliant.
Do you ever get one? Because the two in a bed, I would always get mixed up with Bullseye. Cause it's...
Yes, and I actually did that. I said, you get nothing for a pair, not in this bed. And what?
One in the black, two in the red, nothing for a pair, whatever it is.
Yeah, but you know what? Because I had to go to game show boot camp, because
I did them
in 3 weeks, so I had a day off and then I learnt Bullseye, then Strike It Lucky, so it was, my head was.
And of course, if you get to do these shows week in week out, the same show, you know, as Brucey did, and who did Bullseye again,
lovely Jim Bowen,
and who did Name That Tune?
Well, that was Lionel Blair and Maggie Moon.
Yeah, and I think there were a few, weren't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, Tom O'Connor.
Yeah, and you're going to... But they got to do the same show week in, week out. So they got the rhythm and they could play with it. Like when you do a pantomime, you know, 3-4 weeks in, you're cracking all the gags
it's
everywhere.
It's like an old Vegas act, isn't it? Exactly. You're like, yeah, this one's for you, lady, and all that. But then, yeah, you stop, then you learn a new one. So it kept you on your toes.
Yeah,
but,
good
yeah,
for you. And,
it's so
and
much
they're
fun.
Longer now as well, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they
yeah.
were half an hour, they're an hour.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you have a right laugh.
And do you know what, though? With COVID, it's like, you know, the 2 metre rule. I mean, even the cards had to be sanitised. Well, higher or lower, it does sort of kill the mood a bit. You know what I mean? If someone sanitises the card. But I don't want to spoil it, but this woman won big, screamed, ran to hug me. I ran off because I can't have her hugging me. She might have COVID.
Yeah. Have you had your jab?
No, because I'm surprisingly young. I know people think I'm only 44.
Have you not had the jab yet?
No. And can I just say as well, I'm trying to find a place to eat outside.
Yes.
Alan Carr means nothing in this town.
What, because they're all booked up?
Yes. I'm like, hello, it's Alan Carr here. You might have seen me on the telly. No. I cannot get a place in London. 15th of May, Saturday night. So it's not like I'm ringing up saying, can I have a table now? Alan Carr means nothing. I'm like, hello. I even put it on a bit. You know, hello, it's Alan here. No.
Why don't you try this? Try Jimmy Carr.
Yes, I might.
Does that hurt?
Yeah, that could be, yes.
Cause it, but London is coming slowly coming back to life now. Mm. You know, you go, what they've done, I talk about the Gaucho Grill just because it's it's specific and it's representative of everything else that's going on. So the Gaucho Grill, which is a great steak place, they've now basically rebuilt the restaurant in the street and it looks fantastic. And I think they might stick with it because all the restaurants have just come outside.
Yes.
But they've done a really good job, haven't they?
But some of them haven't. The one round my corner, right. I want to say to the pub, 2 deck chairs with a bit of tarpaulin over the top does not a courtyard make. I'm just saying, you know what I mean? And then it's right near the bus lane and it's like, you know, the exhaust pipe is like blowing your food off your plate.
So everything is smoked, whether you want it or not.
Yes, yes. So, but yeah, some of them get it right. They get it right. But listen, if anyone's listening, please, even if someone just
is
wants
that
me to...
Is that why you've come on the show?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
I don't care if you watch Epic Game Show. I just need to be fed on the 15th of May. I'll go around someone's house.
Okay, so we need to ask why the 15th of May. Obviously, it's a special occasion.
Well, it's just the only time I've got Saturday off. And and another celebrity's coming, John Bishop.
Well, just mention his name, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, he'll probably get in.
Oh, lots of love to you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Please invite me again. I
hope you think
here.
It's worth
Thank
it.
You.
And we love seeing you. And you're a force for good and laughter. And he's never been... You're at the top of your game. You didn't even realise it.
Do you know what? I'm going to send a picture of me and John having our meal and I'll send it to you.
You could invite me. All right, but I'll take a picture. Thanks, Al. Here we are. Don't invite him back again, Mira. I think we're done with Carr. The other ones, Jimmy's fine. I mean, we'll send you a picture. Here's what you could have won.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
From the perfection of pop world to the small screen, the silver screen and some comedy clubs in between, our next guest has done it all. Tickets for his new tour, Spirit Hall, are on sale now. So listen up to the stand-up that's woken up to talk to us. It's the brilliant Simon Amstel.
All right, Si.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm really good. How are you?
Yeah, well, I'm well. You are really good. You are just really good. Right, your tour. SimonAmstel.com is where you need to go, and you will not spend a more intriguing, hopefully humorous experience than being with Simon while he's on stage and the pressure's on him and not you. Although, is it like that, Simon? Because I know that you feel free on stage sometimes, don't you? Because you do struggle with certain aspects of life, and we'll talk about that, and your tour's about that as well. How sort of liberated do you feel on stage when you're in this bubble of your own making?
As long as I remember, just before I go on stage, I tell myself as a ritual now, remember you enjoy this, and then I go on stage and then I'm free.
Isn't that interesting? But you have to remind yourself of it.
Yes, because it's tiring, you know, it's tiring being on tour. I remember being in Glasgow and I called my mum and I said, I don't know. And Glasgow was kind of like, it was just very rainy, it didn't feel very glamorous. And she said, when you go on that stage, you're not in Glasgow, you're in Vegas.
Las Vegas. You can be in Las Vegas, can't you? That's for sure. There's a fantastic podcast. It's with Tim Ferriss. It's called The Tim Ferriss Show. And Hugh Jackman is on one of his episodes. You should listen to it. Hugh Jackman talks about his pre-performance routine when he's playing a theatre show. And it's really fantastic, Si. You might want to listen
what
to
it. What does he do? I imagine he sort of jumps up and down a lot.
Well, he's a big meditator, but he's always mindful of the fact that it's very moving when he talks about it. He talks about the fact that he must remember that some of the people, this will be the big night out of their year and maybe their life. Maybe it's the one thing they've saved up for all year. And he just, every single time, he has this little checklist of, this is why you've got to be the best you can be in the next 2 hours, my friend. And then he taps the stage door and off he goes. And it seems to work for him, let's face it.
Yeah, I used to think I was on stage to get love from the audience. And then at some point I realised the point was me loving them.
Yeah, yeah. And the more you realise that, the more love you have to give, do you think, once you turn that tap on?
Yeah, then it's blissful. Then you're not like out there like an open wound hoping to be healed, which is just exhausting.
Oh, my God. Right, so headlines for the recipe of what might be in the act when Simon goes on tour. SimonLancel.com once again. This kicks off in September. There'll be more dates in 2022. And you're talking about, let's see here, you're talking about the spiritual aspect of the personal journey of discovery you've had. You're talking about, would you talk about your depression or not?
That's so funny. Oh, will you do that? Your depression, the anxiety, but all that? Not so much, actually. It's become a much more blissful show.
Right.
There's a lot about, I feel like in the last couple of years, I've really extracted all the shame out of me. So I'm not wandering around feeling like, oh, I need to be someone better or someone more appropriate or more acceptable. I feel like very in my body and blissed out in my being. And I feel like it's going to be a really joyful show. And I'm going to be so happy to be doing a show. It's been a long time between shows, So I think this is the most excited I've ever been about a tour.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people will be having now, they may not see it because they may not have the right perspective, but, in years to come, they will have their pre-COVID and post-COVID career or pre-COVID perspective on life and post-COVID perspective on life. We will have had this sort of natural half time that not many people are blessed or blighted with. Obviously it happened to my parents with World War II, but you've also got your, alongside that, in parallel with that, you've got your pre-ayahuasca and post-ayahuasca Simon Anstall. Now, for people who haven't got a clue what the heck I'm talking about, can you just give us a bit more on that?
Ayahuasca is a healing plant medicine that's been used by the indigenous people of Peru, the rainforest, for many years, hundreds, thousands of years, and it's an incredibly healing ceremony that you go through. I did this about a year and a half ago, and for the second time, and it turned out I was full of shame, and then I ended up just dancing naked in the jungle, and the word spirit hole, the title spirit hole, comes from this experience. I was guided. I don't know if I can talk about this in the morning, but I was guided towards my spirit hole.
Well, if there's room, I'm in. I'm in your spirit hole. Yeah, let me tell you, I'm definitely up for this.
It was worth the money.
Simon, I've never seen you live. I can't wait to come and see you live. So it is talked about a lot. Now, this has to be a guided experience. How did you first hear about it? How much did you have to think about experiencing it? And they do say, it's a two-time trip is probably most advisable. Whether the first one goes one way or another. Just tell us more. Just tell us more about it, because people are talking about this a lot at the moment.
Okay, so the first time was about 11 years ago. I was with some old school friends. We were having a dinner. One of them had just come back from Peru, and he looked like he was 8 years old. He was just full of joy, and he was free. He was suddenly free. And I was coming to, didn't know it was the end of my talking therapy, but I was coming to the end of about 2 years of talking therapy. I felt that there was something I couldn't quite get to. Like, we were still trying to uncover some bit of trauma so that I could be all right. And I thought, I need whatever he's had. And so I just booked the flight and went without much research. And luckily, it was a really good place, really good shaman. And after four ceremonies, I really got to the root of the depression and the anxiety. I saw, I had a vision of where it first began. I saw myself in the womb. I saw myself in a pram being rocked by my mother. And then I saw a moment that was scary where my baby self decided that he needed to do something to change his reality. And through the medicine, I realized that there was nothing I can do. The medicine seemed to say, you were just a baby. You couldn't even crawl. And so I was able to forgive myself for not doing anything in that moment. And I saw all the connections. I saw all the moments that had led to me becoming this awkward, anxious person. And I was free. I was free of all of it.
Well, Simon, carry on being you, because you're a lovely human being.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
If you want to know more about what happens when we age, we recommend you turn the page of our next guest book. The Changing Mind is out now, and here with news on how you can put off being put out to pasture is the only neuroscientist on earth to have played the saxophone with Sting. It's Daniel Levitin.
All right, Daniel.
Wowie. What a reception. Oh, my goodness.
Now, one of the last things you did live in a studio was appearing on this show just over a year ago now, talking about the hardback, the original publication of your book, The Changing Mind. So for people who didn't hear that, a little bit of an elevator pitch from your good self about this book, please.
Okay, as we're going up, second floor is ladies' lingerie. The third floor is going to be homewares, housewares. The Changing Mind is a book really that I wrote for people of any age, including life hackers in their 20s and 30s or people in their 40s who are just looking ahead. What are the things that we know about the brain that neuroscientists have discovered primarily over the last 10 years that will help us to better prepare to be at our peak as long as possible and as often as possible? What can we do to tweak the brain to habits that we can adopt that will allow us to be productive, happy, and healthy?
Okay, so tweak the peak. Give us some little takeaways, some tempting takeaways, if you don't mind.
Well, we were talking about music. One of the things is that people use music as a kind of mood alteration, the way they might use drugs. You have coffee to help you get up in the morning. You might have a drink of single malt to help you relax at the end of the day. Make mine an Oban, please. And people around the world use music to help them get out of bed in the morning, to get through an exercise workout, to calm them after an argument. And music turns out to be therapeutic. There's now a lot of evidence that music is good for your health if it's music that you like, and if it's music that is helping you to reach some emotional goal.
So music, big tick. Exercise, big tick. Give us some takeaways to do with life hacking and exercise and mental health.
Well, so, exercise is interesting. We all hear that we've got to be running more and faster and up hills and all this kind of stuff. And sure, that's great. But the biggest enemy of brain health, the quickest way to lead into your brain not functioning well, is sedentarism. If we could just get up off the couch a little more often and walk around the house or walk around the block, there's a new understanding that interacting with the environment, physically being outdoors in the environment and walking through it, especially on uneven surfaces, is tremendously restorative for the brain and taps into an ancient evolutionary connection with, are you ready for this?
Go on.
The hippocampus, which is the seat of memory. So we evolved to geo-navigate. When we're out in the world, moving around, we're actually strengthening our general memory.
We've started trail running, my wife and I, instead of flat road running, and we find it so much more enjoyable. And also, it's more effortful, and our whoops go literally off the charts with when they have the metrics of effort and energy we've expired and or recovery and all this kind of stuff. But they seem easier, even though they're more effortful, because they're more varied, because they're up and down and they're wonky and there's rough terrain, as you've just been talking about. But also they seem to pass quicker because there's less of a repetitive aspect to them, but also because it's like gamifying a run for our body, for our biomechanics, and for our mental navigation skills. It's 5 hours literally seems to fly by. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
OMG, this is the reason I love coming on your show. What a great insight. Yeah, it's the varied environment. It's the lack of repetition. It's the lack of symmetry. You know, the world of buildings is very symmetric. It's got perpendicular quarters and edges and things. The natural world is constant stimulation for the brain. Look, if nothing else, the brain is a giant change detector. And it kind of slows down and habituates when it's environments that are not varied, when it's in environments that are not varied. And so the natural world, anything can happen. It's a tremendously important stimulus that arouses all different regions of the brain, the front, the back, the left, the right, the top, the bottom. And you know, the key here is that you want to keep your brain challenged and interested in what's going on at any age. And doing so will help you be better prepared for old age because you'll have built up really what the athletes would call athletic reserve or muscular reserve. You're building up cognitive reserve.
All right, just before you go, speak to this. Just give us a minute on this if you can. I heard something yesterday. I read it actually yesterday in Dan Harris's book, which is called 10% Better, which you may have heard of, you may have read. And he wrote this this little affirmation down. And he said, look, if you've got rid of your demons today, that's fine. Yeah, your demons may have left the building, but mark my words, they're in the car park doing push-ups.
Well, yes, it suggests we need a long-term strategy for dealing with our demons.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's part of healthy lifestyle, eating healthy foods when you can and moving around more. Movement is the imprisoned corollary of exercise. Exercise is great, but as you found, just simple movement is important. And then having a good – so you know, one of the big ideas in the book, The Changing Mind, is to associate with new people whenever you can and keep your old friends too.
Yeah.
And keep them close. Having a social support network, family and friends that you can count on, that you trust, that helps those demons doing push-ups seem a little less ominous.
So cool. Brilliant. So it's pruning, it's looking after what's already there, tending those roots, making sure they get the right amount of water and sunshine, and then cutting them back and looking for new growth is what you're talking about.
Yes, and make new friends, keep the old. One is silver, the other is gold.
Oh, man, what a way to end. You're the best. Daniel Levitin, his book is The Changing Mind. It's the paperback version of the hardback we talked about last year. It's already a Sunday Times bestseller, and it's a perfect beach read. Dan, thanks for your time, man.
So great to see you again.
Cheers, pal.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So, we've heard from three magnificent guests already, but there's still so much more to come on the Best of the Breakfast Show podcast with Sky. Mental health advocate and pavement pounder Jake Tyler discussing his brand new book, A Walk from the Wild Edge. Award-winning comedian Rose Matafeo gets us giggling with tales from her hysterical comedy, BBC One's Starstruck. And managing director and owner of Iceland Supermarkets, Richard Walker, turns to Studio Green with his new book, A Manifesto for Corporate Activism, The Green Grocer. All of that goodness is just around the corner. So without further ado, let's get right back to it. Dapper Dave, who are we talking to next?
From star of stand-up to a titan of telly in waiting, our next guest is going stratospheric. All episodes of her brand new series, Starstruck, drops on BBC iPlayer this Sunday. And here to tell us more is the Kiwi comedian that knows her way around the funnies. It's the brilliant Rose Matafeo.
Good morning, Rose.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Very well. Thank you so much for hanging on in the sunshine today. Congratulations. Everybody loves your new show.
I hope so. Maybe not everybody. I hope there's at least one person out there that really hates it, but everyone else loves it.
Well, everybody that's watched it here, including myself, loves it.
And that's wonderful.
Your good old pal Rachel is here. Rachel Horn.
Hello,
hi, Rachel.
Rose. How are you
lovely
doing?
I'm good. Lovely to hear you. It's been so long since I've actually seen you in person.
I know. Well, I've seen you, but not in person, on screen on this show, and I loved every single minute of it. What inspired you to write it?
Well, basically, I mean, to be honest, it was that I just wanted to see a nice rom-com. I think that's as basic as it was. I think it's quite a sweet and gentle show, and I love rom-coms. I'm very, very obsessed with them, and I thought it was the perfect kind of outlet for my, I guess, type of comedy. And, you know, it's always nice to write yourself into a rom-com when you've got nothing going on in your own romantic life. You know, it's wishful thinking. It's the time of the pandemic. It's an aspirational show.
Yeah, and you might manifest in real life,
exactly.
You know, often. So all episodes available of Starstruck from this Sunday.
Yes.
So there is a spoiler that Rachel sort of...
Well,
it's not a spoiler.
No, because the clue's in the title. How much do you want to say about the initial setup of what goes on in your brand new show? Your very, very funny brand new show.
The premise of Southwark is that myself, I play a character called Jessie. She is in her late 20s. She lives in London. Wow, what a far cry from actual me. But the one thing I did fabricate was that Jessie's character finds herself. She has one night stand on New Year's Eve with a person who turns out to be an incredibly famous film star, which has not happened to me yet again. Manifestation, wishful thinking. So, yeah, that's the basic premise, and it's kind of the story of the show that kind of is the will-they-won't-they kind of relationship through the course of the series. So, yes. What is that setting me up for, Chris?
Yeah, well, tune in, everyone, and find out. And all episodes available. And they're 20 minutes. Now, the 20-minute decision is a great decision for so many different reasons. Tell us about your thinking behind it.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you watch, because so many people, I guess, watch these shows sort of in a row. And sometimes I feel like I wish people could take their time. You know, it plays at 10:45 every Monday on BBC One. So if people want to do the old school legit way, one episode a week, that's awesome as well. But I think the whole show kind of almost feels like a film if you watch it back to back. It's a kind of an odd film, but it's one single narrative that you can follow from episode 1 to 6. And so those 20-minute episodes mean that if you squish them all together, it's basically a feature film length.
I see.
I think that's a great... But then for me, with the attention span of a goldfish, I like having 20-minute episodes so I can watch 20 minutes, go away, potter around, do something, and come back to it. So, however you like to watch it, you know.
So there's a couple of cries for help here. They're not too covert. One is, can I have a boyfriend, please? And can he be a film star in real life? And the second one is, look, Hollywood, I can actually make a film. These are 6 episodes disguised as a rom-com. This is... You're so clever.
Yeah, no. I mean, it could have been a film. It could have been a television show. It could have been an entry in my diary. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It could have operated in many different ways, but thankfully BBC have decided to make it into a TV show.
Yeah, but so ingenious for one so single.
For me. But to be honest, honestly, the more I write it, the more I realise I'm deeply happy.
A happy
deeply
single.
Happy.
Yeah,
I'm like, I actually do get to the point where I'm like, oh, why are you guys kissing? Gosh, no. Especially in a time like this. I'm like, no, what?
Yeah.
Weird.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Very
alter
interesting.
Ego.
All right. So your favourite rom-coms. Come on. We've touched on them. It's always a great game for the radio. Gives you top three rom-coms.
Top three. Number one, When Harry Met Sally. An almost perfect script. An absolute classic. Yeah. Number two, Moonstruck. An underrated hit. Cher, Nicolas Cage. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. It's just perfect.
Go on.
And three, I think I have to say Bridget Jones, because it's truly changed. It was just life-changing for me as a teenager. Yeah. And so got a lot of respect for it.
Sounds like you have more in you. Give us your top five. Because it sounds like you're ready for that question.
Oh, yeah, totally ready. I mean, like, I'd say, but then they get a bit weirder. Like, Sweet November is an older film. Sweet Charity, I think, is not necessarily a rom. I'm big into films. I love films. And that's why I put in the character of it. She works in a cinema, and it's kind of like a way for me to like nerd out about movies in a way that I can be useful.
Well, Rose, good. How are you feeling? How are you feeling ahead of your big BBC One sitcom premiere? How does it feel?
How does it feel?
Yeah.
Oh, it feels absolutely fine. I mean, it feels like it's something that's gone on too far. It feels very surreal and a bit of a joke. You're like, I shouldn't be here. I'm from New Zealand. What the heck? So I'm surprised that it's gone this far.
Which is a very healthy mindset, yeah. Let me tell you. Many people, including myself, could have benefited from that in the past. I was coming completely the other way for about 15 years.
I'm too humble. I'm humble to a fault, to be fair.
Well, good for you.
Maybe.
Well, Rose, it's lovely to talk to you. I've never talked to you before. Good luck with this and please stay in touch.
Yes, lovely. Have a great weekend, guys.
Yeah,
bye.
Same to you. All right, Starstruck, all episodes available on the BBC iPlayer from this Sunday. I've seen episode one. You've seen episodes one and two, Rachel.
Oh, the first 5 minutes of episode two. Just imagine when you're walking down the street and you create your very own me movie in your head of how you would act if you had a soundtrack underneath. It's genius.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
With nothing more than a pair of boots and a backpack, our next guest turned his life around and wrote it all down. His memoir, A Walk from the Wild Edge, is out now. And here to explain how putting one foot in front of the other is often the first step to a brighter future. It's the brilliant Jake Tyler.
Good morning, Jake.
Good morning.
Welcome
what
to
an
the
intro.
Show. I know he's very good, isn't he?
Very good.
Okay, you better live up to it. but we're all fans anyway. We've all read your book. I've seen your TED Talk. So give us a minute. Give us an elevator pitch for your story to get people into the story, so we can talk more about it.
Okay. So a few years ago, I circumnavigated Great Britain on foot. And I did so in the wake of probably a period of, I still don't know how to describe it really, a kind of an all-time low, like a period of mental ill health. And it's not something I'd ever dreamt of doing before. You know, I'm not an endurance athlete by nature. I'm not this like big adventure guy. But something happened and I felt like I really needed to be out in nature and strip life back and just be outside all the time and away from the city. And decided to walk around the whole of Britain and sort of exhibit the natural splendour of it and I don't know, try to encourage other people as well to deal with their own mental health in a sort of positive, exercise, nature-led way.
Yeah. So the first day of the walk, where from and where to?
First day was Brighton to Worthing, and I stayed with a mate of mine at his pub in Worthing. And I mean, old habits die hard, don't they? And at the time, I just drinking and having a good time was still an excuse. You know, if I was having a good day, if I was having a celebration, if I was having a bad day, you have a drink at the end of it.
Commiseration.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt like a celebration day. And I got there and I stayed with my mate there, and I got so hammered that night. It was the night that we lost to Greece in the Euros. Is it?
Yeah.
We lost to Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we won against Greece quite famously, didn't we?
We drew, but we only needed the draw with a David Beckham free kick at Old Trafford. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Felt like a win.
Essentially a win. Yeah. I watched that yesterday, actually.
By the way, you have a touch of the Icelandic about you.
Yeah, do I? Yeah, no, I get that a lot, actually. Yeah, a bit of a Nordic edge, yeah.
So did you get up the next day? Was it day one?
I didn't walk anywhere the next day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was too hungover.
So you took day two off.
Of this 3 pounds out, mate. I honestly, like, the whole book is just a series of because I'm just not that kind of person at all. I just mess up continuously. After 2 weeks, I lost my boot trying to wade through the sea, and I had to buy a new pair of boots. You know, I stayed with really sort of questionable people along the way, and I just, yeah, the whole book is basically me just walking around, just like any person walking around Britain. I mean, the thing is, I take loads of inspiration from these kind of endurance athletes and adventure athletes who take on these quite like sort of absurd challenges, like Sean Conway and Elise Downing, we were just talking about, who sort of run constantly all day, every day, and they're sort of a picture of health. But for me, I didn't know what I was doing, and I just wake up every morning in my tent and be like, right, okay, so how do I do this again, and just try and put it down and start walking again and get lost and everything. It took me so long to get to grips with what I was doing. But by the end, I can't believe how healthy I was.
So you lost 2 stone.
Yeah, thereabouts.
And,
yeah.
And could you
put it back on now?
Mentally, obviously. You don't look like it, but mentally, you know, how different did you feel, and what are the metrics that you could measure that by?
I mean, just enjoying life and enjoying my time, because at the time, at the risk of going a bit too low, when I was in that period where I was sort of like, you know, I just didn't want to be here anymore. I'd even forgotten what happy felt like. And when you're in that sort of state, I really, you know, it's a really, really tough place to be in. Because for me, you know, when I'm feeling as low as I do, and when it's over a really prolonged period of time, it's like when I remember myself feeling happy, I kind of feel like that version of me is an act, and I've put it on. And actually, this me here, this sad, kind of lonely person, is really who I am. So why am I going to try anymore? You know, what's the point of that? You know, all I'm going to do is, you know, if I'm going to get out of here, all I'm going to do is learn how to be fake again, learn how to be fake sort of happy.
Yeah.
And it's obviously not true. You know, depression lies to you. It's not a true... You know, because when I do become happy again, I think, oh, wow, God, why was I so sad? You know, what have I got to be sad about? It's that much of a swing.
One can never see the other.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure. And so I guess a barometer of me feeling like this had actually worked was the fact that I look back on that really all-time low period as almost like a time where, you know, I was sort of indulging in sadness to some extent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, it's about the connection, it's about the attachment, because sadness can happen to you, but it doesn't mean it is you.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And so, you know, waking up every day and, yeah, obviously a couple of days I messed up and, you know, giving up the drinking was something that I eventually did at one point because, I thought, why am I even doing this? Yeah. You know, I've got all these doors in my head.
It's all the same thing, isn't
it? Yeah,
it
is. Like, I've got all these doors in my head which let depression in, and I don't know how most of them open, but one of them definitely opens when I drink. So why isn't that one all just boarded up? And, yeah, you know, well, let's just leave that one out of it. And it's weird. It took me about 2,000 miles of walking and meeting people and going, yeah, let's get a couple of beers, for me to actually realise that actually this is doing me no good whatsoever.
I'll have a fizzy water. You know, you fill your boots, but I'll have a fizzy water.
Yeah, but rounds is rounds, isn't it? That's the unfortunate thing.
It's just a rubbish phrase. And I've heard it. I've said it a million times and I've heard it about 1,000 times. So I know exactly what you mean. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so
Thanks
much for
coming
for having
to see
me on.
Us. You're a lovely person.
Oh, you
You're
too.
You're very special.
Thank you.
Jake Tyler, A Walk from the Wild Edge, out now. It's a cracker. Is there an Audible? Have you Audible?
It is on Audible, and I'm reading it as well.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Our next guest takes being chill to a whole new level. His new book, The Greengrocer, is out now, and here to explain exactly why, for the good of the planet, mum should go to Iceland, it's the managing director of Iceland, the ice cool dude that is Richard Walker.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well. Very well indeed. I took a cold shower as instructed this morning, so I'm feeling very fresh.
Well, you know, from a man who runs Iceland, cold to you shouldn't be an issue.
I should have been doing that all my life.
Of course you should. It is funny, isn't it? Because you go to an Iceland store, especially on a hot day, just for a cool down. I mean, that's fun.
There you go. Hang out in the freezer, that sort of thing.
Before we go any further, the big retail food story of the last 7 days, you know what it is. It's Colin the Caterpillar versus Cuthbert the Caterpillar. It's M&S versus Aldi. Will they end up in court? Aldi is saying, come on now, let's sell all these birthday discounted or inexpensive chocolate cakes for the good of charitable causes, yeah, for McMillan Cancer, which is M&S's big cancer charity that they support. Aldi is saying, what about Teenage Cancer Trust, which is ours? Come on, you have skin in the game. Tell us about this, Richard.
Well, actually, you wouldn't expect me to say this, but I think it's awesome by Aldi. You know, it's a bit of fun. It all goes to charity. We don't have an insect-related cake anymore. I've called my team this morning and I said, we must get onto it. But the reason we took it off is because it had palm oil in. And actually, some of those other caterpillar cakes are full of palm oil, which shows how ubiquitous it is. But there we go. No, I think it's all quite amusing, really.
Well, okay, now you've gone onto palm oil. So have you recovered? 2018 it was, so it's 3 years ago. Have you recovered from the Piers Morgan palm oil battering that you took on GMB that I watched last night and I couldn't quite believe it?
Do you know, I really enjoyed it. There must be something strange about me, but I think business people need to be held to account more, and I'm more than happy to answer tough questions, and he certainly gave it that. He's also a bit of a pantomime villain. I mean, behind the scenes, he's actually always been very polite to me, and ironically, a big admirer of our work, which I suppose is contradictory to his public persona.
Okay, now the blurb on the front of the book, Piers Morgan says, on the front of your book, The Greengrocer, A One Man's Manifesto for Corporate Activism, one of the most impressive business leaders in the UK. Was that pre-2018 or post-2018?
That was about 2 months ago. He sent me a lovely email. I sent him a draft of the book and he sent back so that is legit. That was from a paragraph where he was bigging me up.
Now, if people want to go and watch the 9-minute palm oil Well, I don't know what you call it. It was definitely a bum fight. If you can have a palm oil, a bum fight to do with palm oil, I suppose you can. Did he? What point was he making, and did he have a point?
Yeah, he was saying, is it contradictory that the products that aren't Iceland-owned label have palm oil in and you'll still continue to sell them? And it's a fair point. If you're so ethically against palm oil, why are you still selling products with palm oil in? But of course, our commitment was never to take out palm oil from branded products, only Iceland-owned label, which we did. But I suppose that's the ambiguity and, you know, the tough choices that we take as a business that is in business to make money, as well as try and do the right thing along the way.
And so since then, 3 years hence, you know, I'm going to ask you next, how many of the products that you sell still have palm oil in them? And have you had conversations with branded product producers saying, come on, guys, you really got to sort this out. We've led the way here. What's happened since?
Yeah, so no Iceland products have palm oil in, full stop. We still sell just under half of the products that we sell in our stores. So, I don't know, 500-600 products would have palm oil in. But no Iceland-owned label does. And we've had calls from all over the world, from competitors and from brands saying, how have you done it? Because it wasn't done before. Why have you done it? And we'd love to learn more. So it has been really interesting. Google searches of the phrase palm oil after our campaign went up 10,000% because of the banned ad. And I think we just wanted to get people talking about it, which we absolutely succeeded. And we did push the industry to new pledges on zero deforestation, which is ultimately what it was all about.
All right, good for you. Right, so I read your book cover to cover yesterday and I was very intrigued about it. And so a couple of more sort of... Only because Piers isn't here, all right? So it's only because Piers is...
You're going to get all Piersy on me now.
I'll get a bit Piersy on you, but then we'll get on to other stuff, which is... And it, by the way, there's a lot of good in here. But one of the things you say in the beginning of the book is, you know, you're anti-over-processed foods. I don't even know what that means as a phrase. The foods are either processed or they're not. What do you mean over-processed?
Well, I suppose foods that have been messed around with too much. And often, you know, cheap food can be overly processed in that it's not very natural or it's full of artificial colours, flavourings, preservatives. And people think, well, who's Iceland to say that? And I think, you know, everyone knows us in the UK and everyone has an opinion on us, but actually we have led the way on a lot of things. So we're the first to ban artificial colours, flavourings, preservatives 20 years before M&S. But I suppose, again, that's some of the contradictions and the ambiguity that comes with trying to do the right thing. We're not perfect. We're not even a sustainable business. I'm the first to say that. We're a high volume, mass market food retailer subject to many contradictions. But to quote Voltaire, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good.
No,
and,
no.
We're just trying to do what we can where we can. So we're encouraging scratch cooking and food education, working with Marcus Rashford, talking about how people can cook more at home. And I think we have a role and a responsibility and a part to play in that.
So, but what when, I mean, you know, you say food can be overprocessed. Processed food, a lot of processed food, you know, salt, oil and sugar, we talk about it a lot on the show. You know, it's addictive. It's to do with the top line sort of, what do they call it, mouth pleasure initial taste that keeps you going then, but actually below that it all tastes quite beige. But there isn't a metric that says some food is processed and other food is overprocessed. You have sort of, that is convenient, you've sort of made that up, haven't you? You don't know where that line is between what's processed and in your mind overprocessed.
Well, this is where the government can come in, because in a total free market, there'll always be cheaper, saltier, sugarier food. And I think that's where government intervention is key. So we've been reducing sugar by 10% every year for the last couple of years, but that's because the government told us to.
Yeah.
And there's going to be new regulations on sticking chocolate bars next to tills, which we'll no longer do. It'll probably be bad for business, but you know what? It's the right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do.
It's the right thing to do.
Awesome. All right, the book is, and I'm sure you all want to read it, The Green Grocer, One Man's Manifesto for Corporate Activism and the No Makeup Makeup Sell for his company.
Very
as well.
Well done. Yeah.
Where's the nearest Iceland to Vassos, do you think? He lives in Barnes. He occasionally in Whitstable, but he...
You got Hammersmith? Just had a refit? Give that a whirl.
The Hammersmith Bridge is closed. It takes about 2 hours to get there.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much.
I hope I didn't pummel you.
I didn't. It was great.
It was fine. You happy with that?
Yeah, loved it.
Okay.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.